Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Tuesday afternoon to each and every one of you out there in Stand in the Gap Network, and it's a delight to have you there with us, no matter where you might be. My name is Gary Dahl, and that other guy across the way there is, what's your name, sir?
This guy over here in the western part of the state?
Yeah, I think that's you. I think that's about it today.
See, when we talk like this, you know, we could have our hosts scattered literally around the world, Gary. Mm-hmm. And at some point we'll have someone on. We'll get somebody on from Europe. We'll be calling in mm-hmm. here like this. I mean, it's amazing what can be done. But yes, I'm in Philadelphia now, and you're in the western part of the state. Yes,
and Dave Kistler has a very important appointment today. You know that, Sam.
Yeah, I do. He happens to be out and about exercising his arms mm-hmm. and his, eye and hand coordination with a little white ball. So I mm-hmm. think people can figure out where he is. He's really suffering at the moment. I'm glad mm-hmm. for him, though. Yes, I am.
And, the first question that we need to ask him tomorrow when he comes back on the program is, was he out there with Barack Obama?
Well, Gary, you can ask him, but I can already tell you the answer.
Yes, I know the answer. But, every other day, I think, or maybe every day, Barack Obama's out on the golf course somewhere, they claim. And he must have really perfected his game over the last 7 years, Sam, Barack Obama.
Well, it's an amazing thing. You know, all of our presidents in the past, I mean, we certainly cannot feel bad about them exercising. Not at all, they must. George mm-hmm. Bush was a great exerciser. He was a runner, very disciplined in what he did. That's necessary. But certainly this president has been on the golf course, it seems, at the most unusual times that have demanded strong leadership, you would think, from the top. He's gone. So I think there's a few things to complain about there. I think it's inappropriate how much and when, I suppose, you could say, he goes.
Yeah, but, and, that's true. I mean, certainly everything needs to be done in a balance. There's no doubt about that. I know I have been one individual, and you might disagree with me on this, but in these modern days of technology, I've been one individual who has said that it doesn't bother me how much time he spends on vacation around Washington, D.C. Sometimes I kind of think that's better in the long run anyway. But and I'm not talking about just being out in the golf course now, because like you said, he's been out in that golf course at some critical times when he should be in the war room or there in the Oval Office or somewhere. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I'm not questioning that. But, wherever he goes, if he goes to Hawaii, if he comes to Pennsylvania, he's the president of the United States. And is it not true that he just really carries the nation with him? In other words, and you probably can't answer this, but what would the vacation of the president of the United States be like? You understand what I'm saying?
Well, there's no question. I mean, because unless you structured it well, you wouldn't have any vacation because you're always under somebody's camera, perhaps. And that's a difficulty, though, of being in a public position in a public office. But see, there is always, and as you said, it's correct. And I think far too many don't think of this, but the president and all of those who are in a position of visible leadership in Congress or the Senate, they do carry their office with them wherever they go, whether it is in the civilian clothes or their official office clothes, more or less. And that's something that should be remembered. And if I could, Gary, I'd like to just make a direct connection to that. As Christians, generally, we often think that we can separate our lives out. Too many do. But if you're a Christian, you are 24 hours a day, mm-hmm. public, private. So if you are in a position of authority and leadership, you really are 24 hours a day, and so many have demeaned their position, demeaned their office, because they have felt that what they do in private is nobody's business, and in some cases it may not be their business, but they can't separate the two because you drag your private life into your public life. And of course, we see that in so many things that we are looking at and even that come forward in the news. So you can't separate the two, and I think that idea that you can has gotten a lot of people in real trouble and have helped to diminish the understanding of responsibility and duty that many of us carry, you know, depending upon what area we serve.
And, you know, I agree with that. And, of course, I've been the pastor for a few years, and I've often said that wherever I go, I'm a pastor, and I am the pastor of a particular church. And so it's a 24-hour, 24/7 type of a situation, in the sense that, you know, if I'm here in Altoona or if I am over in Europe, I'm still the pastor of this particular church, and I've got the responsibility to act that way. But not only that, I've got the burden on the church on my shoulders. You know that, Sam? And that's the case with every pastor, because there have been many times when Nancy and I have been on vacation, I've been called back for a funeral or a certain circumstance like that. So you're never particularly, like you said, as a Christian, our life is to be non-hypocritical. But when you are on any level of leadership, to be honest with you, Brother Sam, you've got a responsibility and it's 24/7. You don't take vacation from that which you hold, you know?
That's exactly correct. That's something that our leaders ought to learn again, ought to be taught, ought to be exampled. It ought to be lived.
That's right.
So, anyway.
Well, so much for vacations. Ladies and gentlemen, today, of course, is primary election day here in Pennsylvania particularly. And I would encourage those of you who live in Pennsylvania, make sure you get out and vote. Your vote counts. And Sam, this is a very unique election in the sense that for the first time in 311 years, Pennsylvania has three simultaneous vacancies on the high court. The last time that there were three vacancies on the high court was back in 1704, when then what was called the Provincial Appellate Court was not filled by those who would be elected, but rather they were appointed by the British Crown, by the King of England. And so that makes this particular election of these three vacancies, people to fill these three vacancies, quite historic. I mean, not in your lifetime nor in my life, but this is the first time in over 300 years that three vacancies have appeared on the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. And that's a very, very, very important position to fill, is it not? Sam, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry. We do know and understand that the judges rule on so many important things, Gary. It's critical that they understand what justice is, understand the law, and understand responsibility to the law.
So I would encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, to get out and vote and make sure that you vote biblically. There are so many people running for the Supreme Court, it's almost difficult. You just need to pray and ask God to give you wisdom. But go out and vote and do as much as you can to vote biblically, vote for truth, vote for righteousness. Vote, 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 because your vote does count. We will be back with more Stand in the Gap today, right after this, so don't go away.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. I've got some good news in the fight for religious freedom and the sanctity of life here in Pennsylvania, and that's the addition of another highly qualified advocate joining the cause. His name is Jeremy Samick, and this month he joined our Independence Law Center legal team to serve alongside our chief counsel, Randall Wenger. This legal team now brings additional expertise and passion to the battle as they provide policy expertise and pro bono legal help to advance the cause of life and liberty. It is your generous financial support that helps us stand up for truth and justice, and your support today would be most welcomed. And if you think of it, send along a note welcoming Jeremy to the team. You can contribute tax-deductible donations to Pennsylvania Family Institute, 23 North Front Street, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17101, or donate online securely at pafamily.org.
So, thank you for coming to my town hall today and how wonderful Common Core is and how much money we got from the federal government for giving up control of education. Any questions?
So, Representative, we have adopted new National Common Core standards, but they are not higher than our existing standards, and they were never really tested.
Well, yes.
And now we have to retrain all our teachers again and make them teach from a script so they can teach to national tests?
Well, yes.
And buy lots of new computers and equipment and copyrighted lessons from the same people who are promoting Common Core?
Well, yes.
And we're going to share all our private, family, medical, disciplinary, and test results with people nationwide. Why are you supporting it?
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
On Memorial Day, we honor those who've given their lives in battle so we can live in freedom. But when it comes to memorials, God says there's more to it than just remembering. In Joshua chapter 4, God instituted the concept of memorials and the deeper reason for them. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Upon rolling back the waters of the Jordan River, God instructed the nation of Israel to cross over into the promised land, take 12 stones, and place them on the riverbank as a memorial, a visible reminder to the next generation of the greatness of Jehovah God. In the future, when your children see this memorial and they ask why it's there, you must remind them that it's God who opened the waters of the Red Sea, that it's God who gave victory over the enemy, and that it's God alone who preserves, blesses, and defends. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, urging you on this Memorial Day, while remembering the sacrifice of earthly heroes, remember even more our awesome and great God, to whom all glory and honor are due.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. And for Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl. David Kistler is not with us today. Even as we speak right now, Sam, the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation is conducting a prayer meeting nationwide with a number of pastors and leaders. Of course, it's their responsibility. They've taken on the responsibility, I should say, to lead the governmental leaders and other leaders across the nation, to lead them to lead their congregations and those of their constituents in prayer. And Sam, I think that's a very, very, very good thing to do. You know, we've just gone through the National Day of Prayer here a couple of weeks ago, and I'm glad we do that. I know there's been resistance to it by many, and we have a story that we can talk to relative to that here in just a moment if we get around to it, actually, I should say. But You know, this Congressional Prayer Caucus is asking people all across the nation to pray. You know, there are many people out there, Sam, who believe it's too late to pray for America, that America has already passed the point of no return, and that the divine judgment is on us now and may even get greater as time goes on. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that. You know, have we gotten to the point in America where even prayer will not work anymore?
Gary, we have never gotten to the point where prayer will not work. God hears the cries of leaders of nations and certainly of his people. I mean, we can think back in biblical history. We know that when the king of Nineveh, as an example, very secular, very evil, very a very hard country that that's very much like some of the Middle East countries today, when confronted with the truth and said that God was judging, he repented. He led as a leader in that city, and God heard their prayer, and he backed off the judging of that nation. That's just one. But there's something about when those in positions of leadership actually take the initiative and say, we acknowledge within our roles in positions of authority, could be civil government, could be the pastors in the pulpit, it could be the fathers and the mothers in the home, all positions of authority. But when they lead, there is something significant about that, that not only is a good example, but God hears that kind of thing. So, no, Gary, it's never too late for prayer. But on the other hand, sometimes we have to understand that God may not always answer our prayer exactly as we want him to answer it. He may want us to walk through deeper waters. He may want to have difficult things more that will come our way. That's very, very possible. So we should not think that God doesn't hear. But we should also understand that if God doesn't answer exactly the way we expect him to, that it means he's not listening.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's something that's going through the back of my mind, and I agree with you. You know, as long as we can pray, we should pray. But wasn't there a time, Brother Sam, back in the days of Jeremiah, when the land got so wicked that God basically said to Jeremiah, stop praying for them?
Well, he did, and that's accounted in Ezekiel and Jeremiah.
Ezekiel. It was, okay.
I think it was actually both, because it happened on more than one occasion when God just got to the point where he said, I'm done warning you people as a nation. You've turned your back on me long enough. My patience has run out. Justice will step forward. God, because of his nature, says, all right, I'm going to dismantle you as a nation. Because, Gary, this is a critical thing. We all understand that individually we'll all stand before God one day and give an account of us as individuals for what we've done in this life. But nations can't. Nations cannot mm-hmm. be judged in eternity. God judges nations in the here and now. That's why there are more nations that no longer exist than there are those, like Israel, that has existed for a long time, because God's promised to him that they will. But we tend to forget and think that that the nation which we live right now will exist forever. Well, Greece doesn't exist anymore. The Roman Empire doesn't exist anymore. They came up and they went down because they turned their back on him. So God judges nations. We may, and I think we're finding ourselves, we are in that circumstance, and God has been speaking loudly, in my opinion, Gary, for a long time. It's just at this point we haven't really had ears to hear.
And, you know, Sam, we're not necessarily living in the days of Jeremiah or Ezekiel. Of course, we're not living in those days. So in reality, we would never really know when it's time to stop praying for our nation, correct? I mean, is God going to reveal that to us?
No, I don't think that he will. I think that as a nation, if we are not wise enough to understand that we've walked away from God, if we're not wise enough to understand that so many of these things that we're dealing with these days of subverted justice and circumventing of the law and the throwing off of God and throwing out of prayer and embracing that which God says he hates, as in same-sex marriage examples, those kinds of things, if we don't understand that that these create great difficulty with God and require his judgment, then we're really not very bright. So that is true. That is exactly what's happening. But can that be changed? Can that be altered? We don't know for sure. We know that 2 Chronicles 7:14 says we pray and humble ourselves and seek God's face, that he will hear from heaven. Well, have we done that yet? I don't think we have as a nation, and we may be forced up against a wall a bit more before we actually look up to him. But that's the character and the nature of God. That's the pattern he's established. We're no different than any nation that went before us or any nation that may actually follow us if that happens.
You know, it's good there that you brought out 2 Chronicles 7:14, and of course, you know, we've quoted that many times on this program, and it's a passage of scripture that has been talked about for many, many years by Christians across this nation. And Sam, we recognize that as God's pattern for revival. Every now and then you'll hear people say, well, I don't think God is going to send another revival. Or I've even heard people say it this way, Brother Sam, God cannot send another revival. Well, I think that that is rather presumptuous to make that type of a statement. But as it relates to revival, Sam, if revival is going to come, and I believe it can come, but it goes back to whether or not you and I and others who are called by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way and seek his face. If we don't do that, revival will never come. If we do that, God has promised that revival will come. So when we look at this nation, we cannot really blame Barack Obama for the condition that this nation is in. I mean, we like to do that. But I wonder if we just ought not blame those of us who are Christians, because we've not been praying effectively. We've not been living effectively. We've not been the salt and the light that God would have us to be. Your thoughts?
Gary, I think that's correct. I think every time we look in the mirror, every time we get up in the morning and we get ourselves prepared for the day, we ought to ask the Lord to look into our own hearts. We ought to be looking right into our own eyes and saying, what am I doing in relationship to the truth? How am I living my life? How did I act last night? What am I planning on doing today? If we're not going through those kinds of questions in our life, Gary, then clearly we are part of the problem. And so, you know, will Barack Obama have to give an account to God for what he has done? Oh, yeah, he will. And he will answer personally. There's no question about it. But God looks at this nation, and he doesn't hear he responds to this nation based on the caliber and the quality of the hearts of God's people in obedience. So we've got to go there. That's why this important thing we talked about with the matter of prayer and the leaders calling for prayer and pastors leading in prayer. Absolutely, that is the right direction. That is the right thing to do. But ultimately, it comes right down to our own hearts. And we need to say to ourselves, what am I doing? What is my heart like? Until it gets that personal, there will not be a revival.
That takes, like you said, until it gets that personal, it takes a serious mind, doesn't it? I mean, you know, the book of James says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And if we say, well, I'm praying for the nation, but then I'm living a sinful life, we're not going to get anywhere with that. God's not going to hear that. God's not going to bless that. So when we do go to prayer, it's important that we make sure that we are right before the Lord. But when you look around the world today, and particularly when you look around our nation and see the spiritual and the moral demise, again, Sam, I feel that we've got to go back to the house of God. We've got to go back to the people of God and say, you know, we're not doing our part, for if we did our part, God would do his part. And we talked about 2 Chronicles 7:14, but over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it tells us to be praying for those who are in authority and for all people, as a matter of fact. Why? So that it says that we might be able to live a quiet and peaceable life. In other words, if indeed we pray, God is going to work. But the problem of it is, ladies and gentlemen, our prayers many times aren't working, either because we're not seriously minded about it, or secondly, we're not right with the Lord when we go to prayer. Well, stay tuned because we've got more Stand in the Gap Today coming along right after this break. Don't go away.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence, which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Foster. Saying there's been enough bloodshed, police in Waco, Texas, urge a truce between biker gangs involved in a shootout Sunday where 9 people died.
There are approximately 135 motorcycles that will need to be removed from the crime scene and transported to a secure location.
Police Sergeant Patrick Swanton says most of the 170 gang members arrested are not from the Waco area. Breaking ground on a lot of new homes.
It's the fastest home building pace the nation has seen in nearly 8 years. U.S. Commerce says housing starts increased by 20% in April, shaking off a harsh winter in many parts of the country that shut down construction sites. The increases were seen over much of the nation's northeast, midwest, and west. New homes in the south slipped slightly.
Fox News Radio's Grinnell Scott. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely by my mom, Carla Diadesi. Then her mother quoted Abraham Lincoln, "Our government is of the people, by the people, for the people." Julia's mommy explained that this means we the people determine the kind of government we have by our vote. We are just as responsible as our leader for the decisions made in our country. Julia thought about wise President Lincoln. Her mother reminded Julia that some countries do not allow their people to vote. "When can I vote?" asked Julia. "You can vote when you're 18, replied her mom.
Vote, a public service message brought to you by the Freedom Station, WFYL, working for your liberty.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
Working for your liberty. WFYL.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. And along with Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl. Dave Kistler is not with us today, but you're with us, and that's really what counts. In the last segment, we were talking about the importance of praying for our nation, and we mentioned that the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation has put together what is referred to as a call to America for a call to prayer for America. And this proclamation is actually going to be read in churches and public places all across America in the coming months. And it might appear in your church, it might appear in your gathering, wherever you may be. But if you'd like to read this particular proclamation, I'm not going to take the time to read it to you on the radio today. But if you'd like to read the proclamation, I think you can probably do so by just going to PrayUSA.com, PrayUSA.com/the proclamation. I'm sure that'll direct you there, and it's a pretty good proclamation. And I would encourage all pastors, all ministry leaders maybe to get it and to read it to your group, to your congregation, just to encourage people to pray. Sam, prayer has always been a very, very significant part of this nation, going back to our founders who really prayed for God's guidance. And God, I believe, did give that guidance. And I would venture to say that we would not be the nation that we are today without the prayer of some of our founding fathers. Would you agree?
Gary, absolutely. It doesn't take much research at all to understand that, as you say, from the very, very, very beginning, from the day the pilgrims landed on the shore and they bowed their knees and prayed and thanked the Lord for what had happened and for his future, his blessing the futures to, in the days to come, to John Winthrop, who then prayed, the governor of Massachusetts there, that it would be a shining city on a hill, to William Penn in Pennsylvania, that said, Lord, I pray that this holy experiment of self-government would come to fruition, to all the way down through all the from the signers of the Declaration of Independence to George Washington, that we all recognize the picture of him praying regularly beside his horse in the victory, and Benjamin Franklin. Gary, you cannot go anywhere throughout the history of this nation and without finding a rich, rich and deep narrative and thread of prayer of our leaders and praying to God, because they knew that in and of themselves they didn't have the capacity to lead in such a grand experiment such as this developing and new nation. Of course, that's the same thing that God said, I'm going to Israel, I'm going to give you a land, I'm going to give you great blessings, but when things do happen, don't forget me. And they were to come before him regularly. So now this nation is very, very deeply immersed in a history, in a demonstration of prayer. And it's interesting that even one of the things I know we want to talk about is an individual in the military here, Gary, who has been just scathed, and a certain atheist group want to see him thrown out of the military. Craig Olson, because he talked about God, which is exactly what you do in prayer. So there are many, Gary, who do not even want the mention of prayer. They don't certainly want the mention of Christ. And I think you may have a few things to share about this item here that people ought to be aware of.
Well, you know, you're talking about the Air Force General?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, you know, that's a good segue into that. And we've been talking about prayer. And this is a very serious thing, Brother Sam. And normally I probably would have been able to witness this, because for many years I've been going down to the Washington, D.C. National Day of Prayer, National Prayer Meeting. I did not go this year because, as you know, I had to participate in one here in Blair County, Pennsylvania. But what we know is that this particular Air Force General, Craig Olson, is really under attack. And there are those who are saying that he should be court-martialed simply because of the fact that he spoke about God at the National Day of Prayer, Sam. There is an organization that's called the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. And they've taken issue with Olson's remarks, calling for the two-star general, Olson, to be court-martialed simply because of the way that, quote, he aggressively and very visibly brought to justice. I'm sorry, I'm misreading this. They said that he should be court-martialed because, quote, he very aggressively and very visibly brought to justice. He must be aggressively and very visibly brought to justice for his unforgivable crimes and transgressions, end quote, just because of the fact that he mentioned God in his speech. I don't know, Sam, and I had a hard time getting that out, but that is really far out. I mean, in this nation, the United States of America, doesn't anybody, including a general in the Air Force, have the freedom, have the ability to stand up in a prayer meeting and talk about God and how God has made an impact in his life and how God provided for him and took care of him without some crazy atheistic group coming along and saying that it needs to be court-martialed? Where's this nation going?
Well, Gary, we know where it's going because as a rule, as a culture, we've thrown God out of the public square, thinking that there's separation of church and state thing, which is always thrown up, which does not mean separation of God from government at all. But that kind of thing keeps coming back up. And this individual here with this organization, he's known for this kind of outrageous accusation. But I find it interesting, Gary, that an atheistic group who say you can't talk about God uses the terms of justice, unforgivable, mm-hmm. Crimes, and transgressions. Now, isn't it interesting that those are all biblical terms? They came from the concept that God has established a law, and you need to follow it, and that's where it comes from. But even the atheist, by their actions, will use the concepts of what the Bible says, which is what it says right here, but inappropriately, clearly apply them. We know, I've dealt with many atheists who, when I was in office, Gary, tried to say, well, you can't talk about God because you don't represent me and I'm an atheist. I've dealt with them so long and so many times. But I find at the end of the day, the reason they don't want prayer, the reason they don't want someone in a public position speaking about God, Jesus Christ, or a personal relationship with Christ, is because it brings great conviction in their own heart. And they know the power of it when it's done. So as we're talking about prayer, when public leaders pray, when in this case somebody in the military with a uniform on speaks about his personal relationship with Jesus Christ, they go crazy about it and say that it's an unforgivable transgression to speak about your relationship with Christ. It's because I think in their heart, Gary, they are convicted. But certainly a person with a uniform does not give up his relationship to God, neither does someone who in office. Is he prohibited from speaking about his personal relationship? Absolutely not. We must, in fact, be understanding what's taking place, but I find it very ironic, let's put it that way.
Well, that's interesting that you bring up that point, and that is an interesting thought. You know, why do they use biblical terms in condemning somebody who's living biblically? You know, when you read the Word of God, you'll find it says the fool hath said in his heart there is no God, and when you observe some of the actions of atheists, they do act in foolish ways, do they not? I mean, and this, of course, is just one illustration of that. Folks, I want to hit this head on and just read to you a portion of the letter that this group posted on their website against General Craig Olson. They said this, and just listen to these terms, Sam. They said this, quote, "This demand letter is sent to you on behalf of the countless members of the United States Air Force who are utterly disgusted and shocked by the brazenly illicit and wholly unconstitutional fundamentalist Christian proselyting recently perpetrated on international television, God TV, and streaming all over the Internet and in full military uniform by U.S. Air Force Major General Craig S. Olson on Thursday, May 7th, 2015, during a very public speech for a private Christian organization, the National Day of Prayer Task Force, headed by Focus on the Family founder, Dr. James Dobson's wife, Shirley Dobson." Now, Sam, those terms, I mean, they are really out there, shocked by the brazenly illicit and wholly unconstitutional fundamentalist Christian proselyting? I mean, I know that we're up against the hard break here, but quickly, Sam, that's not American, is it? I mean, they're far out.
No, Gary, that's far out, and that's a violation, even the First Amendment, under any circumstance. But again, you throw off the law, you have no problem misinterpreting the law against others. That's what's happening here.
Yeah, and when we come back from the break, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to talk about how we can combat something like this, because we're going to be finding this more and more in America today. So we will be back with more Stand in the Gap today, right after these messages. Please do not go away.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Where to be found? Batteries?
Dead!
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country's the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely by My Mom, Carla Diadesi. Then her mother quoted Abraham Lincoln, "Our government is of the people, by the people, for the people." Julia's mommy explained that this means we the people determine the kind of government we have by our vote. We are just as responsible as our leader for the decisions made in our country. Julia thought about wise President Lincoln. Her mother reminded Julia that some countries do not allow their people to vote. "When can I vote?" asked Julia. "You can vote when you're 18, replied her mom.
Vote, a public service message brought to you by the Freedom Station, WFYL, working for your liberty.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson, 1800.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The Resource Library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And of course, Sam Rohr and I have been talking about this Air Force general, a fellow by the name of Craig Olson, who spoke about God at the National Day of Prayer gathering in Washington, D.C., and a group calling themselves Military Religious Freedom Foundation has taken issue with Olson's remarks, and they want for him to be court-martialed. And not only that, but they want other service members who helped Olson to be investigated and punished to the full extent of the military law. And before we went into the break, I said, this is something that we as Christians need to fight head on. I mean, I'm certain that the National Day of Prayer Task Force is going to be working with this. If this group really goes ahead and continues to press the issue. But Sam, the question that I have, that I think that many Christians listening to us today or Christians across the nation may have, is this. What really can we do in light of this? I mean, when you see something like this, particularly, think about this, Sam, particularly led by a group called Military Religious Freedom Foundation. I mean, first of all, that's not a very good name for their organization, because they are, it should be freedom from religion. They should put that in their name, not the Religious Freedom Foundation. I think this causes confusion. And so the question that I have is, how can we as individual Christian citizens in this nation fight and combat that particular attitude and those actions that are out there today?
Gary, it has to take a couple of different forms. One is that when we hear of things like this, that we don't just close our ears and walk away and say, oh, well, what will be, will be. That's number one. Number two,
and
understand.
That's good, by the way. That's very important.
Well, it is very important, because that tends to be the attitude of most Americans. We kind of stir on the inside for a little bit, but then we become frozen or immobile on the outside. We don't open our mouth. We don't pick up our pen and write. We don't call. We don't even talk with many other people about it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to understand that their intent is to push those who hold to, in this case, Christian belief, or those who do hold to a constitutional view and that kind of perspective, to sit back and to be intimidated. This is an intimidation technique. So, number one, we can't sit back when we hear those kind of things. And then, secondarily, is to understand it for what it is. This is not just an expression of someone who also has a First Amendment right to say what they want to say.
They can say that, is what you're saying.
That's correct. I mean, they have an ability to say that, but when they begin to use our system of justice and go to court and do those kinds of things to try and use authority structures against those who would hold their constitutional right, and the right is a Christian to act as a Christian, this is, Gary, in every word, and I understand what I'm saying, this is persecution. This is what it is. This is persecution in an increasingly organized fashion. And so when people hear this, it should not be viewed as, well, that's just the way it is. No, this is active and increasing persecution that theoretically under our Constitution should not occur. The First Amendment does in fact give the right for this general to speak as he would speak. This is an attack on our Constitution. This is an attack on the right given by God. This is persecution. And so Christians generally, pastors in the pulpit particularly, should be identifying these kinds of things and saying, folks, understand it for what it is, and then address it from there. And that should drive us to our knees. That should cause us to become more involved, Gary, not less involved in these days. And truth is our tool. Truth is what makes a difference. We must speak it. If we don't understand what the truth is, we'd better find out quick. If we don't know how to articulate it, that can be learned. But we had better be salt and light, which is all, what it's all about. Otherwise, these attacks will ultimately cause us to lose all the freedom that we've taken for granted. That is their goal. We must understand it to be that.
You know, you've got my mind running here, and of course, so is the clock. I think we need another 3 hours or something like that. But you said that this is persecution, Sam, and it is. The Bible says that they who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That is persecution. Many times when people think of persecution, they think of ISIS and what ISIS is doing to the Christians over there in the Middle East. And, of course, we know that ISIS is growing to the point that, you know, there are very great concerns here in the United States of America. As a matter of fact, William Bratton, who is the New York City police commissioner, basically wants to hire 450 more officers in the city of New York just to fight ISIS. And of course, ISIS has as the goal to destroy Christianity, to persecute Christians. Sometimes we as Christians separate what ISIS is doing from atheistic attacks like we've been talking about here with General Craig Olson. And my question to you, Sam, and I just wish we could dig into this a little bit more, but my question to you, Sam, is this. Does this situation with the Military Religious Freedom Foundation and their attack towards General Craig Olson, does that open the door to greater things in this nation against Christianity, such as does it open the door for bringing ISIS into our nation and seeing them operate even in a greater way against Christian truth and Christian living?
Well, Gary, it does, and it does because the leader of this group, Barry Weinstein, is in fact an individual that has a certain degree of comradeship with our own president. He has surfaced on multiple occasions before, doing the same kind of thing before, and rather than the commander-in-chief, who should be stepping up in a case like this to defend those in the military and the law that allows a general to say, God helped me to do the job I have done, should be taking the leadership in saying this kind of assault, this kind of attack by this individual is not only going to be discarded, but actually speak out against it as an example of a very violation of the First Amendment and squash it right on the spot. But instead, he entertains it. So, yes, Gary, these kinds of things are encouraged if they're not responded to properly, and they lead ultimately to greater things. ISIS ultimately leads to martyrdom. This, at this point, is persecution. It's a step before that.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that there is a spiritual warfare that we are in. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. We need to remember that. And to combat that, we need to stand for truth. We need to proclaim righteousness. We need to live righteous lives. And we need to portray and proclaim the wonderful Word of God. Thank you so very much for joining us today. We will be back again tomorrow, the Lord willing. Until then, stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, for the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government, taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4th, 1801.
Live from beautiful West Norriton Township.
Norriton Township.
This is AM 1180.
AM 1180.
WFYL.
King of Prussia.